Good morning, everybody. Welcome. And today, we are going to be looking at May's topic of mercy through the lens of Christianity. So please open your hymnal to number 34, Though I May Speak with Bravest Fire. Now please get out your teal hymnals and open to number 1045, There Is a Balm in Gilead.
To the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where inspired by love, we seek to transform ourselves and to serve others. Whether you are here for the very first time or have been a member for years, today you bring your own very special, unique history and energy as your contribution to creating a sacred gathering for this special service of celebration on this beautiful, holy morning. Welcome. I am Gary Robbins, and I'm your worship associate this morning. And normally I say something about myself and my history in Unitarianism or my roots in Unitarian Universalism, but I want to share with you that through this congregation, I've become acquainted with Pachamama Alliance, which is an international environmental organization. And I am now enrolled in taking a Game Changer intensive that they offer online. And there were some interesting words in the section for this coming week that were online. And it ties in for me to our theme of mercy for this month. Mercy, loving kindness, and how we are in the world. And the words are, we don't live in the world. Sounds strange. We don't live in the world. We live in the story we tell ourselves about the world. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. I invite you to look to see how you are in the world, the stories that you live by, the stories that we as a community live by, and how we see things and how we are, you know, how we see the things that we are by our emanating mercy and loving kindness into the world. We will carry that message forth and we will be that in the world. Now, I would like to have you be aware that in front of you, in the pew in front of you, there on the back of that pew, there are a number of cards and envelopes. So if you have a child that you want registered for education and church here, RE program, there's a form for that. If you, a connection card, if you wish to have something said to someone in the church or to the minister, you require some service, you wish some attention in one way or another, or you know somebody in the church who does need some attention. And there is also a card for contributions, and if you wish to have your contribution go to UUCFM, please, you can put it in. If it's not a check you don't have to put in here, but if it's cash, you can put in here and mark it for your pledge. And if you wish to have a contribution to our organization that we are supporting this month, which is Planned Parenthood, you can just put it in as loose contribution in the offering. After the service, everyone is invited to Hobart Hall, which is off to the right when you go out of the narthex. And there is coffee over there. And those of you who are newcomers, please pick up one of the yellow mugs because it is something that holds more coffee. So you will be able to last longer and it will identify you as somebody that we want to come over and greet. Now, I also want to mention to you, and I see that I have left it in the other room, so I'll do it by memory. There is a celebration tomorrow evening for the LIFE program. LIFE stands for Lee Interfaith for Empowerment. It is one of the ways that we in this congregation, we are one of the leading congregations in the organization of 15 to 17 congregations in Lee County working for social justice. And many of you were at the Nehemiah Action in early April, and we turned out more than our average weekly attendance at the Nehemiah Action. And so that means that we are going to be receiving recognition for that, and there are people who have done justice ministry work to get people to that action. They will be recognized for that as well. It's going to be held starting with registration tomorrow at 6:30 at St. Clumkill Catholic Church on Iona. And out on the table, for the membership table, there are some half sheets that have the address for the church, if you can join us tomorrow. And it is a sweet celebration because you're going to have coffee and lots of yummy desserts. Okay. Now, I would like to also announce that immediately after this service in room 7, there will be a communion service. And I'm told that it will be a relatively short service, so you can go there between church and the coffee hour. And so you can go have communion and top it off with coffee at Hobart Hall. Okay, and we have some very special guests today who helped us in a big way yesterday. And I would like to welcome Kathy McGowan and Connie Goodbread, who are from the UUA, that's Unitarian Universalist Association, Southern Region. And I understand they are some real incredible women.
Well, hi, we're really delighted to be here. My name is Connie Goodbread, and this is the fabulous Kathy McGowan. We are Southern Region staff. There are 10 of us on Southern Region staff, and we are here to serve your congregations. I bring you greetings from the entire staff, and we are your staff. We are your staff, and we are here to serve in any capacity that you need us to serve in.
And I just wanted to say, as the presenter yesterday, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for hosting us and making us feel so welcome. How many of you were there yesterday? Could you raise your hand so that the other people can see?
Great.
So these are some of the great leaders that you are blessed with in this congregation. So my hope is that yesterday spurred a lot of thought for people so you can continue having wonderful conversations. Thanks again.
And before you sit down, I have some gifts for you. Each of our members upon membership received the 5 smooth stones of religious liberalism. And here are the explanations of that, but you know them well. And the gift of our community waters that we gather together every fall in our water communion, may it bless you in your ministries to all the other places that you touch and bless. And now it is time for us to rise in body or spirit and join in lighting our chalice. Can we hear about our chalice lighter?
Let's do that. I would like to introduce Emily Hutchinson. And Emily has been attending UUCFM for 2 years. She owns approximately 1 million DVDs and actively encourages her husband's board game collection habit. Emily is a ruthless tabletop role player and enjoys spending time crafting and playing with her daughter, Penny. And also, Emily knows, she really knows how long it takes to make 1,000 paper cranes.
Let's sing the covenant together.
Love is the spirit of this church. And service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
And please remain risen as we join together in singing number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table.
Yeah.
this place where you might see and be seen. Whoa! Come into this place where your failures, your trips, and your stumbles are welcomed. Where we might open our hearts to be merciful with ourselves, to go gently with ourselves, and also to strengthen ourselves for the courage to be bold in a world that needs our love and care. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning, everybody.
For
those of you who don't know me, I am Jen Blosser, I'm the DRE, and I'm going to ask you guys to chill today. You get to stay over there. You were so ready to come up here. Thank you. That was awesome. But today we're going to all sit together because we have a lot to go through, okay? So this morning is going to be kind of a stream of metaphors, so stay with me here. We don't have the Wonder Box today, we have treasure chests. Metaphor number one, we are going to be celebrating a big treasure within our community and our congregation, and the treasure really is twofold. One is the fact that we have some incredible children and youth here in our congregation. Just by a show of hands, raise your hands if you've ever seen a child or youth in our congregation do something that has impressed, amazed, or inspired you. Right? They are a huge and valued part of our community. And so we are a treasure. And at the forefront of the lines, helping them and encouraging them and inspiring them, is our RE team, our religious education team. And so they, too, are a great big treasure. So this morning, we're going to open a treasure chest. Ooh, yeah, exciting. You guys come over here and do the thing? Thanks. What's in the treasure chest? Thank you, Amy. We have a banner, and what does the banner say?
Celebrate!
Because we're going to have a party this morning. So we're going to move into metaphor number two, and we're going to talk about something a little nautical. We sing a song about how the Earth is our lifeboat, floating through this great big universe, this great big ocean of the cosmos. Well, if we magnify that a little bit deeper, we are each a little boat, right? We're each a little lifeboat, and we're charting our courses, and they're getting pushed around by currents, and sometimes there are stormy seas that make us feel like we are surely going to sink. But if we're fortunate, we find other little boats to sail with, and we end up having a little fleet. And that's kind of what we are here. We're a little fleet, and we are navigating and charting the trepid waters of life together. And one symbol on a boat that represents safety more than any others is the anchor. And the anchor represents safety because when a boat doesn't know where it's going, or rather the people, you know, in charge of the boat don't know where they're taking it, or they need to rest, or for any reason they need to stop and have a safe space, they drop that anchor. And that anchor goes down deep and it holds on to the rocks and the ocean floor, and it secures them. And really, that's what your RE team is here. Our children and youth are all still getting out their charts, right? And they're learning how to read them. They're figuring out where are they going, what is it they're going to be, how are they going to worship, who, you know, what is the truth with a capital T that they believe in and adhere to. And while they are trying to figure out these charts, we, the RE team, are going to hold them safe. That's what we do every Sunday morning. We hold them in love and we hold them in safety. And when they stand there looking at the campus going, I don't understand why it's spinning. We try to guide them. We're never going to tell them which chart they need to be reading from. But when they can't make sense of the longitude and latitude, we'll try and explain it for them. So I have anchors for our wonderful RE team today. And this is how this is going to work. I'm going to call you forth to give you your humble handmade token. And then I would love it if you would step over here and sign our little canvas that Jersey painted for me last night at 10 o'clock, because I totally planned this. Okay, so go ahead and put your John Hancock signature on here for me. Okay, there's pens in the drawer. And then if you will just stand. And everybody, please hold your applause. We're going to get the line of all the RE teachers up here, and then we're going to shake the walls with our appreciation. Okay? So, stomping, screaming, yelling. Our first anchor is going to have to be hand-delivered to Lisa. She is our nursery attendant, and as is so typical, she's not with us this morning because she's in the nursery. I invited her. We were going to make backup, but she wanted to stay in the nursery with the kids because, quite frankly, she really enjoys it. And if you have a child in the nursery with her, you know how incredibly invaluable that woman is. She's amazing, and our kids love her, and she keeps them very safe and loved. So she's a really important part of our team, who we don't often get to see. Okay, next up, this will be interesting to see what order they're in. Krista Hudson, who is holding my daughter. So your hands are a little full, thank you. She is currently our RH committee chair. She is the former nursery attendant of how many years? 7 years. That's a really long time. She knows so many of our kids and has known them since they were small. She has a great rapport with all of them. Can you grab that? Thanks. And she also directs our School of Wizardry summer camp. So thank you, Krista. All right, next we have Rachel Spiller. Come on down. Rachel just joined our RE team this year. And has joined to be a youth advisor. And she's also working on starting up an awesome social justice club for our youth that meets on Wednesdays. So this is a really powerful project that she's working on. So thank you, Rachel. Okay, next we have Harvey Heckes. Are you here, Harvey? Oh, look, you're right there. Thank you. Harvey has been a member on the RE committee since before I started volunteering on the RE committee. And he is hugely passionate about the value of our children and youth. And I have so much respect and have really come to admire you, Harvey, for all that you have done and stand up for with our committee. So thank you. Okay, and now we have Julie Ireland. Julie has also been longstanding and assisting with the RE committee. Quite frankly, she's a powerhouse of a woman. She knows how to get stuff done. She's awesome. Also teaches with our wizard camp. Thank you. Thank you. And also teaches, this year she taught the 2nd through 5th grade class with Matt Halstead. Matt Halstead has also taught the 2nd through 5th grade class. Passionately helps out with the summer camp, the wizarding school, and aims to create an archery club. Ha! See what I did there? He also makes the best garlic bread you will ever eat in your life. I'm not joking. Oh, where's Stephanie? Stephanie is not here. That's sad, but Stephanie Spalding-Hoffman served, our former RE chair, has served for ages with the RE committee. And next year, we'll be teaching a class that we've not had before for our 4- and 5-year-olds, chalice lighters. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm going to set this over here with Lisa's. But Matt Hoffman's here. Hi, Matt. Matt is currently teaching with Rachel the UA field test curriculum for parents and caregivers as sexuality educators. He is also like one of my main backup guys. He helps whenever we are like, oh no, a volunteer couldn't make it today. He stands in for everything. And finally, we have Joe Sexton. Hi, Joe. He is one of our youth advisors. I used to be his partner youth advisor before I became DRE. And so I've done a lot of hours with you, and he is passionately supportive of empowering our youth. And I respect you so much for that. So thank you. You can put it back in the box. Thank you. So as Joe signs, I'm going to go ahead and release the silence. Let's hear it for our incredible RE team, guys. Thank you. Beloved RE team, thank you so much. You may return, and we will soon sing the kids out, but I have one more group of people to thank. Sorry, stick with me. So, we have 6 really incredible people who this year stepped up, because we have a problem here at UCFM, and it's kind of a big problem. We have too many people coming. We don't have enough manpower in the nursery each week. So we've had to ask for volunteers from the congregation, and 6 awesome people have stepped up to do that. And I have this thing where, like, we all have a little garden of flowers, and we give these flowers in times in ways that are really meaningful. The way you give flowers to people you love, or to cheer people up when they're feeling ill, flowers come from the heart, and they represent a lot more than a plant. And for me, that's the service that these 6 individuals have provided. They've recognized how important our littles are and how special it is that we have a space for them where they're held in love and safety. So we're thanking them with little flower pots. So pass me those. Thanks. Good luck separating them. Okay, so first, I would like to thank Helen Letty. Thank you so much. And Elaine Swank. You hear Elaine? No, I don't see her. And Holly Rowan, who is actually in the nursery right now. So we're going to run hers over to her in just a minute. It's okay, just leave it. Okay, and Sue McGee. Hi. Come on down. Thank you, Sue. Oh, pretty one. And Allison Carville, I know you're filming, but you're going to have to take a break. Thank you, Allison. And I don't see Don, but Don Ehat is our number 6, so we will find him and deliver him a flower as well. So one last applause. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, girls, for being my support team here. And so now we are going to sing our children and youth out to their classes for our last official RE day.
Now is the time in our service when we allow ourselves to center around that which is most sacred in our lives, to give ourselves the gift of time, of quiet, and to hold also the joys and the sorrows that are in our community and beyond these walls. Today is Harvey Milk Day. A time to remember a bold leader and to give thanks for his sacrifice. Today is also a day to hold Chris Rosa in our continued prayers and love as she grieves the death of her husband, Terry Silvernail, and for all of us who grieve, for Terry touched many lives. We'll be holding a memorial service for Terry on June 4th, a Saturday at 2 p.m. here in this sanctuary, where you might bring your love as we mark this occasion of grief. And there's all that comes within. And so I invite you into a time of quiet, understanding that the sounds of life are all around us. And so it is quiet as quiet allows, welcoming the presence of little ones. Perhaps at this time you might relax your eyes or just your gaze. To find a way to ground your body wherever it comes in contact with the earth. And to notice the ways also that you have levity and lift all the way up to the crown of your head
as if there were a string that was being lightly lifted up. And note the expansion of breath that each inhale might nourish you and each exhale might cleanse you. It is from this place that we might be in quiet together. Peace, shalom, and blessed be. During the Stones of Intention ceremony, every week you're invited to place a stone in these pots of sand at the front and to the sides. The stone might be a symbol of a joy or a sorrow or a milestone in your life. If you didn't pick up a stone on the way in, it's okay. There are also at the stations for you to select. And my prayer is that when you offer that stone, it brings you peace. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored.
And now let us join together in singing the Harvey Milk song, number 170, We Are a Gentle, Angry People.
Followed by a responsive reading.
Oh, yes.
It's fine.
We are a gentle and generous people, but let us not forget our anger.
May it fuel not only our commitment to compassion, but also our commitment to make fundamental changes.
Our vision of the beloved community must stand against a vision that would allow the privilege of the few to be accepted as just and even holy.
Our religious vision must again and again ask, who is my neighbor? And strive always to include more and more of us.
As we intone the words that gave birth to this nation, we, the people, we are and we should be both a gentle and an angry people. There is an elemental love in the universe by which name we know each other and encourage ourselves to live. There is a silver river that connects everything from which some part of us never leaves. There is a mercy making its way up through the ocean of the earth to the shores of our feet. There is a music so sweet it is almost unbearable that is composed between the ear and the heart, which reminds us. There is a diamond glint, a seed of longing in ourselves that recognizes the potential absence of gravity in another. There is a part of us that says it is never too late to be reborn on the in-breath each morning. Somewhere there is a basket that contains all of our failures. It's a big basket. It wants to know what to do with these. Mercy has no use for them.
The psalm that we heard, I don't even want to say heard, it was like it was being received. Thank you. Surely mercy will follow us for all of our days, and yet those failures can collect in that basket and become so large, but mercy has no use for them. It's funny how things happen during a week, how for months, perhaps months in advance these days, as I work with another planner like Amy and with worship associates, we choose the theme of mercy. Amy chooses this piece to bring to you. And then I sit at a table this week with other people of faith, organizing with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, working with the Alliance for Fair Food as a faith ally, other leaders from different denominations all coming in. It was like I was at the big kids' table. And we begin with prayer and reflection. Not submitting ourselves, but instead by sharing our hearts some of the most sacred scriptures or teachings that guide our lives. And one of the people at the table shared that it was that very psalm that spoke to him so clearly. It was something his mother would mutter to him as he would go to bed. He couldn't remember the words, but he could remember the feeling of the journey it took him on, and the journey that he still felt accompanied on. He said, you know, life is sometimes about getting from point A to point B, but in between there's all sorts of stuff that happens on this journey, and it's hard to deal with some of this stuff. And of course, he's coming from a place of understanding real struggle, as I know him personally. And I know that he's been involved deeply in the struggle for working for farm worker rights and empowerment and worker-driven social responsibility. So he knows struggle, and yet he said, but this journey that we're on, what that psalm teaches me is that it has to be filled with acts of love and faith. But it got me thinking about starting from point A to point B. What's point B? Usually this psalm is something that's muttered, or at least I didn't grow up in a Christian culture, or I grew up with all of it around me, but I grew up Unitarian Universalist, with a bunch of Unitarian Universalists who were so marginalized by the Christian right that was around them that they threw the baby out with the bathwater, so I never learned anything about Christianity growing up, which is sad because that's kind of the roots of Unitarian Universalism. So I'm still learning, which is why I get to sit at tables and learn from people around me. But in this psalm, the point B, often the psalm is used in times of dying and death. But how I learned about it was, I think, maybe watching a movie or a TV show where something really frightening was happening, like, you know, some horror movie where someone's just praying that psalm over and over, the Lord is my shepherd, and they're very scared, they're filled with terror. But I began to understand, as this psalm has continued to sink in me, and it's been through singing it and receiving that gentle grace that surely she brings, that I began to understand that this psalm is for the living. This psalm is for those of us who are on the journey, who are facing all kinds of challenges. Yea, though I go through this valley where there's so much that is unknown and scary and mysterious and hidden, surely she's with me. Now, some of you may or may not be into the she or the he or the sort of godlike figure, but what is it like to imagine that you're accompanied by a presence of great love and mercy? Whether it's the monks who are praying for loving kindness all over the world, or monks in training, amateurs like me, or whether it is a loving God that comes from our universalist heritage, one that speaks to an understanding of no matter what your failures, just put them in the basket. Mercy has no use for them. Because surely, surely there is this access to each of us, no matter how we describe it or know it, whether it comes from within or from some greater power from without, frankly, that doesn't bother me what you decide. But my greatest prayer is that something like that is available to you. And what it could be really is just that person that's sitting next to you, holding your hand in the hardest of times. The reason the tears come today is because I know so many of you to be such agents of mercy and love in the world. And for those of you I don't know well, I believe in the power that each of you have to do that for yourself and for others. As I was at that table, listening to all the ways that people were guided by their faith traditions, there was something else that came up. It was another scripture from a Methodist pastor, and I know he would be comfortable with me sharing this with you. And it was from Luke, the book of Luke, which is from the Christian New Testament. And Luke is talking about the ministry of Jesus as it is told through this particular writer. And what he talks about is, it's the story of when Jesus comes back to Nazareth. And the story is, so Jesus is like this insurgent rabble-rouser rabbi guy who's just showing up at his hometown. And then he comes there, and then he sits in the temple, and then he reads. And he reads from Isaiah, and I don't have it memorized, so I'm going to find it. He comes to Nazareth and he reads from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Oh, what does that mean? So the year of the Lord's favor is what he's talking about is Jubilee. And Jubilee was a practice that the Jews had, that the Hebrews had, as described in the book of Isaiah. So he's re-quoting this and saying that he also has this power. And the book of, and Jubilee, the season of Jubilee, is something that would happen, now I think the Catholic Church claims it every 50 years, the season of Jubilee. But Jubilee back then was way different. It was hardcore. It was, if you had debts, your debts were forgiven. If you had to pay back someone with your furniture, that someone would give your furniture back. Okay, can you imagine Jubilee for real these days? All those student loans. God. Jubilee! But here's what he says that I think is so cool. You know, as Luke says that Jesus says, right? The cool part is he says, later on, he rolled up the scroll, he returned it to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is why I kind of like this Jesus guy. I think he's really neat, because he's like a lot of other really cool people I know who are saying, it's not about me. Do you understand that you have the power of Jubilee within you? The power of every day, that today is the day that that is fulfilled. That enlightenment is possible. That finally love is possible. That you can be reborn in some kind of way. That every day mercy is available to us. And that we can live through that sense of mercy. And forgive the debts. Forgive the failures. Just put it in the basket. Mercy has no use for it. Because what is that end? What is that vision? To me, the end, the point B, is the welcome table. It's what some people, what the white feminist theologian Rosemary Radford Ruther called the kingdom of God. This understanding of our vast sense of interconnectedness. It's already there. But do you ever get those moments you know you're not feeling it, but then you feel it? You sense it? That it's already there. It's just there, ready for us to open ourselves to it, to be reborn to it, to find it on that in-breath, and then to breathe it out into the world. The welcome table is a place, as I grew up, I grew up in a pretty closed-off environment where I was the person who always rooted for the underdog. And so the welcome table was a place, as I grew up, I began to understand that I need to make sure there was room at the welcome table for other people. You know, to pull out the chair and say, you deserve to be here too, because I was already sitting there. What I've come to realize at this welcome table, I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. What does it take for me to approach that place? If we're to live into our vision in our 60th anniversary 2021 year as a congregation to be a bold and inclusive community, it takes the humility of understanding we're not there yet. We are not the beloved community. We have to work towards it to become that. And it takes humility. And it also takes that sense of understanding that you have that Jubilee faith within you. That power to be reborn into the spirit of your highest aspirations, however they come to you. I have a quote from a white theologian who is a Unitarian, Theodore Parker. He says, God send us, this is in my office, God send us a real religious life which shall pluck blindness out of the heart and make us better fathers, mothers, and children. A religious life that shall go with us where we go and make every home the house of God, every act acceptable as prayer. We would work for this and pray for it, though we wept tears of blood while we prayed. Getting from point A to point B, it ain't easy. It's a journey. And whether it's one's own decisions or just life happening that create that difficult valley to be going through, we have the power of working towards point B, towards that welcome table of inclusion, so that all might know our universalist heritage, that love is with everyone, and that love always wins. But we will work for it. Blessed be.
Please rise in body or spirit as we join together in singing a jazzed up version of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 126. There's syncopation.
Our meditation group has been reading Living Buddha, Living Christ, and it's a fascinating book. And I would invite you to understand that that spirit is the same spirit that lives right there in each one of us. And our job is to access it in our every relationship. Each month, this congregation designates a nonprofit group as our Community Sharing Organization of the Month. And this year, I mean this month, I should say, Planned Parenthood of Southwest and Central Florida is our designated group. Now, those of you who know anything about me know that my love for this organization is immense. I can't explain it. It goes back to my work in the regional office of Planned Parenthood starting in 1970, and my work as executive director of Planned Parenthood in Wilmington, Delaware, several years later. And it is an organization that is the premier organization in the world for reproductive health. It stands for people taking charge of their lives and empowers people through their education and through their medical programs to be able to control their fertility and to practice wonderful sexuality in a responsible way. And so I invite you to please, before I ask you to do that, let me remind you that Planned Parenthood here in Fort Myers was started by one of our own members. And we celebrate Phyllis's contribution to our community. And so I invite you to reach that spirit that wants to produce the mercy, the loving kindness that you have in your heart for people who need our assistance in their reproductive health issues. And any loose contribution in the offering today will go directly to Planned Parenthood. And again, if you wish to make a contribution directly to UUCFM, place it in this offering envelope and mark it so. May we today be inspired to fulfill the greatness of all we have ever dreamed ourselves to be in this universe. And might we offer the great gifts of who we are and a portion of what we possess to the service of this sacred community for all our relations. Our offering will now be received.
And please feel free to join in singing along if you know the words. 2, 3, 4. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and the south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. They used to be na-na. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be na-na. What about this overcrowded land? How much more abuse from man can she stand? What's going on? What's going on? What's
got to find a way to bring some understanding here today. Find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see what's going on.
You to rise in body or spirit as we join in receiving your offering. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now let us join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish the chalice this Sunday. Oh. Words from the Hebrew scriptures. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Help comes from the Eternal who made heaven and earth. The Eternal guards you, sheltering you. The Eternal will protect you as you come and go, now and forever.